Just like you to turn to the end of the chapter, first of all, from whence our brother has been reading, the first book of Samuel and chapter 9, the first book of Samuel and chapter 9. Now, inevitably, through these early chapters of Samuel, we've taken you through some very dark days. I'm sure my brother would join me in saying that it's not always easy to deliver the messages that are in dark days. I'm sure, too, he would agree with me. We've said it on several occasions that we're not seeking in any way to talk at you, but with you. It's difficult in dark days, and there's some hard messages in dark days if we're going to be something for the Lord. It's a burden to deliver a message that is linked with the glory is departed. I'm glad tonight that I can start out of the night and into the light. For just a few moments this evening, then, I want to get out of the darkness. It's only going to be an application, and I just want to get into the light. And I just love this little section here, verse 25. And when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. I'm going to get you up early today. And they arose early. Don't know whether you do. I've been in luxury land this week, in my bed longer than normal. But I normally rise early. I don't know whether you do, but I'm going to get you up early now. And it says, and they arose early. And it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I might send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, it's a very human picture, this, isn't it? You can almost see these two men on the top of the roof. You can almost see them coming down and walking together early, the spring of the day, walking down to the end of the city. Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us, and he passed on. But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance when thou art departed from me today? Keep your Bibles handy, and we'll see what happened on that day. I just want for a moment to take you into the potential of this scene. And I want to take you in that sense, if I might just apply, out then of the darkness into the light. A new day dawns, and it's the spring of the day. I want you just to notice with me briefly the potential of the day. And then I want you to notice with me the pathway of the day. And the pathway of the day, this new day, this spring of the day, this pathway will take you from a tomb to a throne. What light, what hope. And I just want to leave you tonight with the pathway from the tomb to the throne. Just notice with me, first of all, just briefly, in verse 1, something of the potential of the day. A simple statement. Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? We've had a lot of peace today already. Here's a few more peace. The potential of the day, power, position, privilege. You say, what do we mean? Here is this son, the son of Kish. We're in the family of Israel. And here is this son who stands at the dawn of a day, who stands in the light of the spring of the day. And he's brought face to face with the potential of this remarkable day. We just sense that we're standing on the threshold of a remarkable day for Saul, the son of Kish. And what a remarkable day it was. The potential of it. Look at the power of it. Verse 1, the Lord hath anointed thee. The Lord is in this thing. Leaving aside all the disappointment of Saul for a moment, I'm just making applications. The Lord is in this thing. The Lord is in control. The Lord is sovereign. The power, the glory belong to him. The potential is immense. The Lord hath anointed thee. No wonder we stand at the dawn of the day. No wonder we stand in the glorious light of the spring of the day. What a responsibility rested on Saul as he heard those words. The Lord hath anointed thee with all the power and with all the authority that gave to Saul. What a position. Look at chapter 10, verse 1 again. The Lord hath anointed thee to be captain. That is, a commander, a leader, literally, from the front. It's an awesome responsibility, isn't it, to lead from the front. Because the interests of the company become your own. Are you a driver from the rear? Is that what you're good at? Is that the kind of power that you like to wield? I'm good at driving them from the rear. Are you good at leading them from the front? Because suddenly when you're leading from the front, all the care and all the interest of that group, that company, become yours. Power, position. What potential? Look, please, privilege. Chapter 10, verse 1. The Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance. These people, Saul, that you are to lead. A privilege. They're not yours. They belong to the Lord. They're the Lord's heritage over this inheritance. Do I need to remind you? What a privilege it is to care for the Lord's people. I hope you don't think that is the prerogative of elders and elders alone. It is their prerogative in that sense. They should have a care for the people of God, a care for the flock. But we should all aspire to that. There should be within us all a care for the people of God. And just to remember this, particularly you elders, but all of us, that little company of which you are a part and for which you have responsibility is not yours. Listen to Paul. He described it as God's husbandry. He describes it as God's building. He describes it as the temple of God. Listen to Peter. He describes it as the flock of God. And I've always just sat back and tried to soak up the words of Solomon in 1 Kings 3 verse 9. He says, this thy so great a people. What a description of the people of God. How do you view them? That little company to which you belong. That 22 of which I'm a part in Stourbridge or wherever you are. It might be bigger or smaller, I don't know. How do you view them? What a privilege to move among them. What a privilege to lead them. What a privilege to care for them. What a privilege just to remember they belong to the Lord. And we criticize them and we pull them down and we shred them and we discover, Solomon says, this thy so great a people. If only I could grasp that of the Lord's people. I'd be less critical. I'd be less judgmental. I'd be more caring, I'd be more careful as I moved among them. What a tremendous potential for the new day. What a tremendous potential for the spring of the day. You can just feel the freshness of this, can you? You felt the darkness when Eli died. You felt the darkness when Phinehas's wife bowed her head in death and Ichabod was born, and you felt the darkness of the glory is departed. You felt the intensity of that. Do you feel the freshness? Do you feel the beauty? Do you feel something of the potential of the spring of the day? Do you feel something of the freshness of early in the morning? What potential? How much potential we lose because we don't live in the good of these things as we move among the people of God. There is the potential for great power here. The Lord's anointed. There's potential here too. There's a position here, potential in the position to be captain, to be commander, to be leading from the front. There's privilege here. It's the Lord's inheritance. But my main burden tonight is just to leave you. You might say it's hard with Saul. Well, it is. But here at the beginning, maybe it isn't. We can just make the applications, because I want you to think with me of something of the pathway of this day. It's a thrilling day, really. It's full of so much potential and promise. And we read through this, maybe, and we see no thrill about it. Well, I just want to take you through from the thrill of a tomb to a throne. And you can see where I'm going. And you can see the applications. Because primarily tonight, I want you to see with me Christ. His pathway, look at it, chapter 10, started at a tomb. Verse 2. When thou art departed from me today, Saul is going to have three signs, really, to confirm that he was on the right path. You can't mistake that these are signs that confirm he's on the right path. They're so detailed, they're so specific, that they could only have come from the Lord. There's no confusing what's going on here. And so the pathway begins at a tomb, verse 2. When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find, lovely isn't it, two men, specific. By Rachel's sepulchre, specific. In the border of Benjamin at Zalzah. And they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? And suddenly you feel you're in the warmth of something. And you're in the potential of something. And you're in the light of something. You're in the spring of the day. It starts at a tomb. You say, how can you then be in the spring of the day? How can you be at the dawning of the day? Well, notice with me, please. Just look at chapter 10, verse 2. It was the place you discover the name Benjamin there, don't you? If it's the tomb by Rachel's sepulchre, it was the place where Benjamin received life out of the death of another. I've always thought how wonderful and how beautiful that is. Benjamin. When Benjamin is born, his mother bows her head in death, and Benjamin has life out of the death of another. Isn't that why you're here tonight? Isn't it? I have life tonight out of the death of another, Christ. Notice, it was the place, Benjamin, it's the place where Benoni, son of my sorrow, became Benjamin, son of my right hand. It was the place where hope was born for Jacob. His mother says, Benoni, called him Benoni, son of my sorrow. No, says his father, Benjamin, son of my right hand. I have life out of the death of another today. Because the lovely person of the Lord Jesus became the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But how lovely to know the man of sorrows who was acquainted with grief is now the son of his right hand. The highest place that heaven affords, it's his by sovereign right. It's the place where Benoni became Benjamin, son of my right hand. Notice verse 2, it's the place our brother has taken us there tonight. It's the place where Saul's restless search ended. He discovered that God had answered his need. Look at the words, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. Are found. And it's the place where the search ends and the lost is found. I trust you can find a point in your experience. When he came to the cross, when he came to Christ, and he discovered that everything you'd lost in Adam, you'd found. Because he restored to you and me more than was ever lost. He restored that which he took not away. And suddenly I discovered at Calvary, and suddenly I discovered at the cross, I discovered that all that I had lost in Adam had been restored and more besides. No wonder it's the spring of the day. No wonder it's early in the morning. Notice, please, verse 2. It's the place where Saul learned how much his father loved him. I love this, don't you? At the end of verse 2, he ceased worrying, did Saul's father Kish, he ceased worrying about the asses that were lost. Look at the words in verse 2. He sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? He discovered, it's the place where he discovered and learned how much his father loved him. But suddenly, asses weren't of interest anymore. Now it was the son. And love for the son that just shone out. You can take the asses. I want my son. Do I need to remind you tonight? It's at that place we discovered the love of God for us. It's at that place we discovered how much we meant to God. It was the place where Saul learned how much his father loved him. And I'll come on to it in a minute in relation to Christ. I say to you tonight, what a fitting place to begin a journey that was to lead to the throne. No wonder we're the spring of the day. No wonder we're early in the morning. And it points us, doesn't it, to the very tomb of the one who was born in the very place where Rachel died. And it just takes us to Christ. The one who was born in Bethlehem's manger. And it takes us to the tomb of this one. And can I just remind you tonight, you know the story so well, I don't need to underline them. The women who entered the tomb on the resurrection morning were met by two men. Verse 2, two men by Rachel's tomb. And women at the dawn of the day, just as the dawn is breaking, just as the light is touching the darkness, very early in the morning. And then we get, as we join them, into the spring of the day. And they're met by two men. And as they stood in the place of weakness and death, they received the message that began a new pathway for them. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. What a message to receive at the dawn of the day. And let me just remind you, at that tomb, it's the very place where we meet the Father's love for the Son. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, we're at the tomb, that I might take it again. We're at the cross, but we're at the tomb. And we discover, as we stand at the tomb, and as we discover an empty tomb with those women, we discover how much the Father loves the Son. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Listen, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, says Paul, the Father of glory, raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. And you discover how much the Son means to the Father. The Son means everything. Saul discovered at that too how much his father loved him. His father loved him more than he loved things. You fathers here tonight, you with young families, how much do you love your children? Do you love them more than things? Do you love them more than building up the possessions of a comfortable house, a comfortable existence? There's a real danger that you can end up loving the things more than you love the people who make the house. How often we say the wider family of the people of God is not a building. It's not things. It's people. And Saul discovers that his father loves him more than things. And we come to the tomb of the Lord Jesus and we discover just how much the Son means to the Father. He raised him out from among the dead and has given him glory. And you see how much the Father loves the Son. It might be dark in Samuel, but just for a moment, we're out of the darkness. And just for a moment, we're in the potential of the light. And we stand at a tomb and we discover the journey, the pathway starts at a tomb. Let me take you a step further. And you'll discover in verse 3 that the journey takes him to, well, it says a plain, but it takes him to an oak, is the word, really. Verse 3, then thou shalt come on forward from thence. And thou shalt come to the plain or the oak of Tabor. And there shall meet thee three men going up to God, to Bethel, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a bottle of wine, and they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. What an important lesson for Saul. If the Lord had found for him what was lost, if the Lord could bring him salvation, the Lord could meet his need. All he had to do was put his hands out and receive it. Have we grasped that? We've trusted him for the greatest thing of all. I trust you have. I trust you're saved. If there's someone here tonight not saved, don't leave this place till you are. Talk to someone about it. We trusted him for salvation. We've come to the cross. We've come to the tomb. We've seen a man who died upon a cross. We see a man who's alive in the power of an endless life. We've trusted him for salvation. Praise God. 15 years of age, the light dawned. And I came in to the spring of the day. I'll never forget that night. Have you? Has the day of your salvation grown dim? Does it still excite you tonight, the day when you came into the light? Have I gone on in the good of that? And I have salvation, but have I come to grips with a God who will actually meet my need? And all I have to do is to reach out and receive that need. I know your minds are all going to Saul and the way in which he fell short of all this. I'm not there tonight. I'm in the light. And I'm in the sign for us all that the Lord who's found what was lost can answer your need. Just put your hand out and receive it. It's great, isn't it? It's great here that we're at an oak. The journey took him from a sepulchre, a tomb, to an oak. And I don't need to tell you in the scriptures, the oak will just remind you of the strength that can be found in weakness. But that can only be found, can't it, through the Lord. We've already been directed to another Saul. And another Saul could say, my grace, or hear the words, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. You might stand up here, Saul of Tarsus. No, Saul, King Saul, you might stand up here. But you have needs that you can't meet. And you have to come to a point where you recognize that you are weak. I came there at the cross. Have I lost it? Where I am weak and he is strong. And he can provide for my every need. And here the journey takes him so significantly from a tomb to an oak. Just notice, please, in verse 3 where we've come to. Three men, a remnant in Israel. There's always light in the darkness. Just take courage from that today. It's pretty dark today. But the Lord always has his remnant. The Lord will always give you light in the darkness. Even in the dark, dark days of the tribulation, you'll see light shines, even there. And let's just take heart and let's just take encouragement in this today. Just to discover three men, a remnant in Israel, they're in the minority, but it didn't matter to them. What were they doing? It says in verse 3, they were going up to Bethel, house of God. I can't stop tonight. You've had enough challenges this week. Cherish everything that speaks of house of God. Is it dear to you? Is that little company of which you are a part? Is it precious to you? Does it mean anything to you? Do you put your all into it? Do you care and love for the saints that are part of it? Is it the very lifeblood? Today, that little company just centres around our social calendars. And if it fits my social calendar, I'll be there and with it. If it doesn't, I won't. And I can just desert it for weeks on end and never care anything about it. Here are three men in the darkest of days. And though they're just in the minority, and so we ever will be in the dark day, so let's just walk in the spring of the day. Let's just bathe in the warmth and light of this, that we are those who are going up to Bethel, house of God. And cherish that. Hold it. Look, please, it says this. They're not actually captivated with a place. It says they're going up to God, to Bethel. My, that's the difference. Are you going to meet with the God of the house? Are you going to meet with the Lord in the midst? Is that the object? Or am I dragging my feet and just going to a place? And I go there week by week by week by week, and I come away and I've never, ever really, truly met the God of the house. No wonder my little life's in darkness. No wonder my little life is unproductive. Just three. Just a remnant. I wonder how many of that company with whom you meet, I wonder how many actually go up to the God of the house to meet with God and to praise and worship God. Because look at these men, here they are. They go up, look at verse 3 again, they go up with full hands, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a bottle of wine. And I'm not stopping tonight. You can read into there the sin offering, the meal offering, the drink offering. But together, those three men going up to the house of the Lord, combine it all, and you've got a sweet savour that's actually going to ascend to God. My, what power there is in three men that are actually going up to the house of God. They've all got different burdens. They've all got different hands, things in their hand. But their hands are actually full. And you just delight in this, don't you? That there is a unity and a fellowship. They all carry different things, but there is a unity about it all because their hearts were right towards God. And as well as giving God what was due to him. They come away and they're in a position to give to others. The message is, receive from their hands, thou shalt receive from their hands 2 loaves of bread. This is specific. These people, you can spiritualize it as you will. I'll leave you to it. We're good at spiritualizing all things. But I just want you to see that here are men who come away from worship and come away from worship with something to give. Others benefit from it. I think of those who came away from an upper room meeting the Lord and they just simply say to Thomas, we've seen the Lord. Their hands were full. And you meet them down the road and you meet them in the town and you meet them at work and you tear them off a strip. For not being there. Isn't it better to have full hands and just to be able to give to others what they've actually missed from your exercise? Then they might want to be there the next time. To actually be able to say to them, we have seen the Lord. Do people benefit from the fact that you've been up to the house of God? That you've met with the God of the house? That you have gone up with your hands full? And you've come away in that sense with your hands full. You've just given to God his place, his worship, his honour. And you come away and you're just bubbling over with it. And you just want others to receive what you've received. And bubbling, joyful, excited, thrilled disciples actually say, we've seen the Lord. And the next time they're together, he's there. Would they miss anything if they weren't there? Would they? Or is it so barren and empty? In dark days, nothing. I'm wanting to get you into the light. I wanted to get you into the spring of the day. I want you to see the potential of the day. It starts at a tune. It moves on to an oak strength. And what strength there is that actually comes out of this. Verse 4, thou shalt receive of their hand. Receive it, Saul, take it on board. And you can do nothing but benefit from it. And it'll rub off on you. And what they've given you, you'll enjoy. And you'll want to give as well. I know he lost it. I'm in the light of the day now. I'm not in the darkness. Here's a sign, a tomb. Here's a sign, 3 men going up to Bethel. Look at chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, and you'll discover the next pathway. It's all upwards, isn't it? It's all upwards. We're getting higher and higher and higher. We've been up to Bethel, and then we come to verse 5. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God. Touch of reality. What a place to come to. Touch of reality. Verse 5. Where is the garrison of the Philistines? What a pity. What a pity that people that should never have been there, people who had a form of godliness, we've seen already this week, but deny the power thereof. What a pity that they were within. And they'll always weaken things. We've talked this afternoon about being perceptive and insightful, if there's such a word. You know what I mean. About the preachers having to be perceptive. Let's be perceptive that things don't come in that ought not to be there. People aren't there who ought not to be there. We've already seen these Philistines this week. People who came out of Egypt but didn't come out the same way as Israel. No lamb, no shed blood of a lamb, no Red Sea that speaks of baptism, no wilderness experience, but they're in the land, a constant thorn in the flesh. And the tragedy, the reality of these days was you come up to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines? Well, don't let's get preoccupied with that tonight because we're in the spring of the day. And you discover in verse 5, in the potential of this day, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. My. Have you caught the excitement of it? It's a good job most of us didn't live in those days because I think we'd have a job to be coming down with tabrets and psalteries and song and all the rest of it. It takes a lot to get us excited and let ourselves loose, doesn't it? We sometimes get ourselves into quite a straitjacket of behaviour. and we're afraid to let ourselves go. I don't know about you, but I grew up with old brethren who let themselves go in worship. I don't mean charismatic-wise, Pentecostal-wise. They just let themselves go, and you just felt they were on another planet, and they were. They were on another planet. And there were tears rolling down their faces, and there was excitement about it all. And here, in dark days, you say, can't get like that today, it's too dark. Well, you can't get much darker than this. But we're in the spring of the day. It's great. Even in dark days, you live in the spring of the day. You live in the dawn of the day. It's much more exciting and refreshing place to be. And here are these men. They're in the spring of the day. And you see them, prophets, worshipping, praising, exercising their gift of prophecy. And you discover, verse 6, that the Spirit of the Lord is active. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man. Right. When did we last experience excitement like that? When did we last get in all the enthusiasm and the potential of that? Here are men, just a few again, but nonetheless, they've been up to the high place, and they're coming down full of it all. And you see them, they're worshipping, they're praising. And you worship and praise sometimes, and it's dead. You say, where's the life? Where is the joy? Where is the joy? First I knew, when first I saw the Lord. Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus and his word? And it's just refreshing sometimes, isn't it, to come across a newborn believer. And they haven't got the words, they haven't got all the I's dotted and the T's crossed, but they're just excited. And they just let themselves go. They just want to speak about the Lord. Where is it? Well, once I knew. And you say, you can't be like it today. You can be like it today. Here are men who are worshipping and praising and exercising their gift. Here, it's the gift of prophecy. I'm not going down this track tonight, but I'll just leave it with you. Do you know what your gift is? Do you know what it is? And if you know what it is, are you exercising it? Are you using it for the benefit of the people of God? For the upbuilding of the church, for the edification, lovely word, that authorised version word, the edification of the people of God. Are you actually using that gift? Here are men who are just full of it. And when we come together, it's the Spirit of God active. It's the Spirit of God at work. We've seen exciting things this week in a Bible reading and what the Spirit of God can do. The way in which boundaries and barriers can be broken down. If the Spirit of God is given free course, even when the messengers left, the Spirit of God was still there, still working, and the testimony was maintained. You can hound out the messengers, but you can never, ever hound out the Spirit of God indwelling the people of God. Well, I know in Old Testament days, not indwelling, coming upon. And here it comes upon. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy, and shall be turned into another man. You know, as you go down the section here, another man. And you discover in relation to this man, look at verse 9, God gave him another heart. Well, I don't want to get into the darkness. I've said that. We've already travelled Saul territory this week, and we've already seen that these things were but temporary as far as Saul was concerned. We've seen the depravity to which this man could sink, and God just empowered him in relation to the role of kingship that he had, and he was the king that was given to them in their rebellion. But I'm just making an application tonight. I'm just wanting you to catch the potential of the spring of a day. And here is a man who becomes another man, who has another heart. There's no indication that there's any inward work of regeneration and renewal in Saul. But I trust there is in you, and I trust there is in me. The moment I trusted Christ, the Spirit of God dwelt within. The birthright of every child of God, the indwelling Spirit of God. Is the Spirit of God allowed that activity in your life, that place that he deserves? Or are there so many other things in that life that are just crowding it all out? And instead of living in the joy of the spring of a day and the early morning of a day, we're just down in the darkness of it all. The things crowd out the person. And the things are more important than the person. And Christ ought to have first place. And the Spirit of God ought to have free reign in my heart and life, that he might fill me and continuously fill me. If not, we'll get back into the darkness and won't see the potential of the day. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, thou shalt see a company of prophets coming down from the high place, and they shall prophesy. Would God it had all been real in Saul. Just look, please, verse 8, and I'll just pass this and leave it with you. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. And it's just an important thing to remember, isn't it? Thou shalt go down to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee. Look at what he says. And to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offering, 7 days shalt thou tarry. I will come down to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. The Spirit of God never ever works independently of the Word of God. Spirit of God might be upon. Spirit of God might be within. But I need the Word of God, because the Spirit of God never ever works independently of that Word. And there's a lot going on in Christendom today, so-called, that is in the energies of the Spirit of God, and it's totally and utterly contrary to the Word of God. Can't be right. Can't be of the Spirit of God. Can't be. If it's of the Spirit of God, it's in accord with the Word of God. And the clear message is here. Go to Gilgal. And I can't stop here. But I just remind you, on the pathway of that journey, it took him to Gilgal, because Gilgal is the place that speaks of an end of the flesh. And you say, what is the flesh? The flesh is everything about me apart from Christ. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. It was the very place, isn't it, where the children of Israel who came out of Egypt, who hadn't been circumcised, were circumcised. It was where the flesh was rolled away. It was where the reproach of Egypt was rolled away. It was from Gilgal that they stepped out by faith to defeat Jericho, not in the energy of the flesh, but by faith. No wonder, Saul, you must come to Gilgal. And once you get there, you must wait for me 7 days. You need to hear the word of the Lord. Well, Saul was good at power games. He was good at the power games of giving orders. He wasn't so good at receiving orders. And I don't want to take you into the darkness tonight, but if you go on in your reading to chapter 13, you discover you're into the darkness because he failed to wait for the word of the Lord. And I don't need to remind you the tragedy that brought to him and to Israel. Never ever move independently of the guidance and direction of the Spirit of God. Never ever move, therefore, directly contrary to the inspired word of God. The Spirit will always take you down that pathway, down that road. Go to Gilgal. You've got to come to a point, if you're going to enjoy the spring of the day in all the darkness, you've got to come to Gilgal, which speaks of an end of the flesh. And you move in the energies of the Spirit of God. And you're in the dawn of the day. Don't know as much of the refreshment of that as I ought to, do you? I covet more. Just to move in accordance with the Word of God. And just to move in the light of that. I draw to conclusion. Look at verses 17. Look at verse 24. And you'll discover that the journey takes you to the throne. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord to Mizpah. Not going into that, you went into that last night. And here you come right the way from a tomb that took you back to a cross, that took you back to a manger. And you can just gaze at Christ through it all. The Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. The Spirit of God found a resting place on him. The beautiful perfection of that one who moved according to the Spirit of God every step of the way. And here you come to the throne. And here you come to the crowning of the King. Up to this point, everything has been done in secret. Now it's to be done in public. Even Saul didn't appear to know everything that was going on. And certainly you discover down here in verse 14, his uncle didn't really know what was going on. But now it all comes out into the open. And the amazing thing is this, that the crowning day comes at Mizpah. And the amazing thing is, we should be in the dawn of the day. We should be in the spring of the day. And they can't even find the king. Look at the end of verse 21. And when they sought him, that is Saul, he could not be found. I think that was true of Saul right the way through his life. Everywhere he ought to have been, he wasn't. And everywhere he shouldn't have been, he was. And he moved in disobedience to the word of God. And even at the crowning, even at the time when the son becomes king, they can't find him. He couldn't be found. And look at verse 22. It says this, therefore they inquired of the Lord further. At least they went in the right place. If the man should yet come hither. And the Lord answered, behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. I like the authorized version. Can't get better than that. He was hid among the stuff, the baggage. The luggage, if you want. I ask you, look at the sadness of this. Verse 23, and they ran and fetched him thence, and when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders upwards. A man as big. Our brothers brought him before us tonight, and as impressive as that, hiding among the baggage, I ask you. It'd be laughable if it wasn't so sad. And God has to draw him out of the baggage. Well, I don't mind whether it was reticence or fear or reluctance or downright disobedience or modesty. I don't care what label you put on it. He wasn't where he should have been. And they had to bring him out and drag him out from among the baggage for the crowning day. What a lovely thought. What a contrast to the crowning day that's coming. And the Lord shall come. You won't have to drag him out from anywhere, I speak reverently. You won't have to find him among the baggage. And what a lovely thing. It's worth living in the light of the day now. It is. It's worth living early in the morning now. Don't get dragged down in the darkness of it all. Tread the pathway. You've been to the manger, you've been to the cross, you've been to the tomb. You've been to the oak. You've been to Gilgal. Don't let it all go. Don't get dragged down in the dark. Don't get the glory has departed. Live in the dawning of the day. Here they are, a man head and shoulders above all the rest of them, and they've had to drag him out from among the baggage to crown him king. And the Lord, my God, shall come. And all the saints with thee. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord. There shall be one Lord and his name one. He shall bear the glory. And he shall sit and rule upon his throne. And we see the public display of the one who is King of kings. And Lord of lords. I don't know about you. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, I'm going to appear with him in glory. And there'll be no positions in heaven, the Father's house, no positions. We'll all be there by divine grace. But there will be positions in that coming kingdom according to our faithfulness now. What a contrast. A king drawn out of the baggage and stands head and shoulders above them. A king comes from heaven. Comes out of the glory of heaven and all his saints with him. What an array. And we're going to be with him and we're going to reign with him And verse 24, Samuel said to all the people, "See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen? There is none like him among all the people." And all the people shouted and said, "God save the king." And they did that to Christ. And the cry soon darkened and the cry was soon silenced. And for a different reason altogether, the cry was soon silenced here. And ultimately the king that stood before them was the king that was rejected. The king that was set on one side to bring in the man after God's own heart who would fulfill all his will. What a crowning day here. What a crowning day is coming. Look at verse 26. Saul went home to Gibeah. I'm making a very loose application now. The king today is in heaven, in the Father's house, preparing a place for us. He's coming back. Saul went home to Gibeah. How lovely. There went with him a band of men. I've done a lot of weeping over these chapters, I tell you. And I wept over this, whose hearts God had touched. And verse 27, the children of Belial said, "How shall this man save us?" And they despised him and besought him and brought him no presents. But he held his peace. Well, he did here. He didn't later. But that's another story. Because I'm in the light tonight and I want to finish in the light. Our lovely Saviour is in heaven. And how lovely for him just to know down here. I want to be in this band, don't you? I want to be in this band. The Lord is still rejected by the many, still neglected by the few in front. But soon he's going to come in glory. The hour is drawing near. The crowning day is coming. By and by. And as I wait for that day, I'm waiting for him to return to the air to take me to be with him. But I'm waiting for the day when he'll come back and be vindicated in this world. I hope we love his appearing. Love his appearing. I hope today that I'm among those. Look at verse 26. Saul went home to Gibeah and there went with him a band of men. They meant much to Saul on that day. He turned on them. There was no loyalty really in Saul. He turned on them and would destroy them in a day to come. How lovely to know that we've got one at the majesty, the right hand of the majesty on high. We're safe and secure for all eternity. And what he's looking for down here is a little band of men, a little band of women whose hearts God has touched. And if I can just touch your heart tonight with the dawning of the day, if I can just touch your heart with the spring of the day and look for this crowning day, what he's looking for down here are those who move down here loyal and faithful and true to him. I hope you're among the band, and I am too, whose heart the Lord has touched. The journey, the pathway. Are you prepared to take that pathway to remain in the light? May God bless his word to us.